Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another fabulous episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Alec Mappa, and it is my job, my only job, to say welcome the queen of all things, queen of all media, queen of all entertainment, Lonnie Love.
How are you doing?
How's that for a build-up? How's that for a podcast from a sick person?
I know.
How about that?
Well, you look good. You sound a lot better.
I sound a lot better. I was very fatigued the last time we spoke because I have COVID. I said have COVID because I'm still testing positive.
After a week?
It's been 10 days. It's been 10 days. Because they say you count back 3 days from the time you started feeling symptoms, which was last Sunday. So it's been a little more than 10 days. I spoke to a virologist today, Morgan Fairchild, my very good friend Morgan Fairchild, who studied viruses in college.
Really?
Yes, and has still kept up her studies. She's kind of a nerd. You would never know it. And she told me that it might be safe, if my family remains masked, for me to go back home and isolate in my house. Because the shedding part of the virus, which you have the first week, is when you're most contagious.
Yeah, and I'm you just stay away from people.
So I just have to stay away from folks, but I would like to be in my own bed.
Yeah,
Lonnie.
It's been 10
I bet
days.
I bet you have a nice bed. I bet you have a nice... Do you have a California king? Something roomy?
I have a queen, but I have really nice sheets.
You have a queen bed.
And so I know what it's like.
Gosh.
It's like, you know, with the pillows and with the sheets. So, yeah, you've been away for so long. And sometimes you do feel better when you're in your own house. So I can understand that. Just stay away from the kids. Stay away from your husband. But at least you're in.
I know.
And it have a lot of disinfectant. That's what I believe.
Just wipe and
spray down stuff and you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be like I'm radioactive. It's going to be like I'm Silkwood and they're going to have to give me a scrub down every night. As usual, you know, I'm holed up here all by myself. So I have been following your Instagram. You're like my window to the outside world. Like I never watch the Kardashians unless I'm on the road. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Like, if I'm on the road away, like I was in Vermont and Toronto, that's probably where I got sick. But in all those places, I will watch the Kardashians as a way of like, oh, okay, that keeps me tethered to Los Angeles somehow. It's like while I'm living amongst real people, I want to see how real LA industry weirdness people live. Like, it's like a weird, because we live in this weird reality where that's real.
Right.
So and then you go out into the real world where real people are living real lives, and sometimes that's too much. So I kind of like watch the Kardashians for a little fantasy while I'm on the road.
Oh, so did you learn anything?
Nothing. The show hasn't changed. The show hasn't changed. It's them eating salads and having their makeup done while they're on their way to someplace else.
Oh, Alec, you never change.
But I have been watching you. You were on every single game show ever created. There's stuff of you on Pictionary, which I didn't know was still around, with Melissa Peterman, our friend.
Pictionary is new. It's a new game show that they gave to Jerry O'Connell, who you know is from The Talk. And so they asked me to come in, and they had an emergency and all this other kind of stuff. So I did a few episodes with him, and I like Melissa Peterman.
Were you the host?
No, he's the host. Jerry O'Connell is the host.
Oh, you're a contestant. Oh,
Jerry O'Connell. I'm just, Melissa and I are just players. And look, the reason why I do so many game shows, just so Squirrel Friends know, is either to help people make money or help charities make money. And so a lot of times that's the case, is that I can raise money.
If any time, when the point where I get where I'm hosting a game show and Lonnie Love shows up, I'm going to go straight to the producer's office and say, listen, am I being fired? Do the numbers? Are the numbers reflecting that they want to see Lonnie Love? I get it. So just tell me now. No need to, with this bullshit of like her hanging around as a guest If I'm fired, fire
That's
me to
not
my face,
true.
Fire me now.
You know, I've just been doing a lot. Yeah. I've been actually right now.
That's not what Jerry O'Connell told me. That's not the text that I got from Jerry. He's like, what's up? Is Lonnie? Lonnie's replacing me.
I wouldn't want to host that type of show. I'm working on some stuff right now, but I'm getting ready, Alec, for my first lead in a movie in 5 years, and I'm so excited.
Oh my God, what is it? What is it? I want to hear all about it. And then I swear to God, school
I know,
friends, we will talk about
I have one more
Secret Celebrity
news,
Drag Race.
Very, very quickly, I'm working on a movie, and I can't give all the details, but it's for a lead. Okay. It's my first time in 5 years. And I gave a praise report on Twitter because I want people to know that because you lose a job, like something like The Real, which was something major, and it was an adjustment for me because it was something that I would have to do. It was a daily talk show, things like that. And after you lose something, I mean, you know, you get something canceled. You're like, oh God, what's going to happen?
Of course.
Well, I wouldn't be able to do this movie if I was still doing that show. And so I, you know, put that out to my fans that sometimes you have to let the universe just take its course because you never know what's on the other side of the hill. So now I'm preparing and I'm going to need your help. You're going to have to help me run lines because it's a lot of dialogue. It's the lead. It's a lot.
Is it a superhero movie?
It's a funny, like a misery type movie.
Oh, so, that sounds a funny type misery type movie. So some kind of funny hostage situation. It's not, you're not, this isn't like a big dramatic turn like Monique in
Precious.
Not. Like,
I like to do things that are funny. I like funny. Precious.
Who gonna love me?
Precious.
Who gonna make me feel good?
You know what? I hate you.
I talked about that with Shangela. She said she hoo-hooed herself to an Oscar.
That's right. She sure did.
Who gonna make me feel good? That was my man.
She sure did. I'm like,
I will gladly run lines with you.
Well, you're gonna have to. So just get ready. And in really sad news, but also inspirational news, our fellow drag queen Cornbread released some news on her Instagram stating that she had been diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And I immediately hit her up in the DMs and I talked to her. And when I tell you, it's, can you pronounce it, Alec?
It's adenocarcinoma. Adenocarcinoma. And apparently, according to her socials, it is a treatable cancer. And she's in treatment, and according to you, she's feeling all right.
She was in such great spirits when I spoke to her. She says she's a fighter. Okay. But what I'm asking of Squirrel Friends is to send positive love and energy to Cornbread. Things like this is life. And when life happens, we as a community should send love and positivity. And like I said, I spoke to her. She's fine. She is ready to fight this and it is treatable.
Good.
And so let's make sure that we send that to dear Cornbread.
Send that out to Cornbread. And I think that, you know, with a lot of people, when they hear cancer, they're immediately intimidated. But what we don't talk about are all the cancer survivor rates.
Yes.
The success stories, the people who do go on after these kind of scary diagnoses, and I'm sure that Cornbread is going to be one of those people. Let's keep that good thought for her. And let's, you know what, Lonnie, how about we sent out good positive vibes to everybody, loving vibes, even when they're well.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even when you're okay.
It's about love and positivity, and that's why we are doing this show. And you know what? This is the finale, the grand finale.
Oh, the grand finale, which is French for grand, finally. I don't know if you knew that. And listen, you know how the show works. We are going to cover the finale, and we are going to talk about spoilers. We are covering everything. We are going to talk about the returning queens, the infamous Tic Tac lunch. I don't know how anybody walks away from that. They're always so stuffed afterwards. The finale solo lip syncs. And of course, since this is the finale, the newly crowned celebrity drag superstar.
I love it. This is what we've been waiting for. It's been a great season for Secret Celebrity Drag Race. So let's get right on into it after we take a little break. Let's take a little break and we'll come on back and we'll talk about it.
We'll be right back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Phew. You know, Lonnie, I'm feeling much better this week.
I can tell.
I hope I sound like it.
Oh.
I just was a little beat up last week.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better because last week.
You're healthy, though.
You powered
you never
through.
Get sick.
Last week, the
I
winner
did.
Was Thirsty Von Trapp. Chick LaFay and Poppy Love were the bottom two. And Chick LaFay, a.k.a. Kevin McHale, was sent home.
I was kind of shocked by that.
You know what? Yeah, I was shocked.
I felt like Kevin was being featured as, from the beginning, a front runner.
Yeah.
Kind of like, just because week after week, there was a lot of slayage. And he was really, really good, and I enjoyed him.
But this is what happens. I mean, you think that the show and you think the competition is going one way, and it changes. So we were left with the three, Poppy, Chakra 7, and Thirsty Von Trapp. They were the three in the grand finale. Now, if you have any questions for the queens, any hot takes, remember to follow and message us on Twitter and Instagram at Lonnie Love, at Alec Mappa. I will get back to you. Yep. I don't know if Alec will get back to you because he's so busy.
I will get back to you. I'm doing nothing else. I'm doing absolutely, while Lonnie Love is conquering show business, I'm wandering around this gorgeous Airbnb going, oh, maybe I should water the plants.
Let me tell you, I was on Twitter yesterday and the girls were fighting. Everybody was fighting. I mean, everybody.
What?
Oh,
over what?
Oh,
tell me.
Girlfriends, if you follow Twitter, it was a mess.
Yeah. Have you been canceled again on Twitter? Who did you tell to break a leg?
I didn't get canceled. I was out of it. I stayed out of it. It's
when you say the girls are fighting.
The rap girls, the Cardi B's, Akbar, Nicki Minaj, they're all fighting. They're all going like through Twitter beefs.
What's the fight over though? I wonder.
I don't know what's happening. It's something weird that's happening in the system and where everybody feels like they gotta appear like number one. So it got really, really heavy. And then there was this wonderful announcement of Rihanna doing the Super Bowl. She's gonna do the 2023.
So excited.
And she's performing. And so then to make her announcement, because, you know, Rihanna doesn't make any crazy announcements, just normal announcements. She had a football with her hand and that told you,
that was her announcement. I saw that.
So
I was like, why is everybody reposting this hand on a football?
Exactly. So that was that, right? So everybody was like, yay. So then Popeye's chicken put a hand that was sort of like Rihanna's, but it was somebody else's hand, and had a chicken sandwich, right?
Okay.
So basically saying like they're the Super Bowl of chicken. So then Wingstop retweeted that picture and said, chicken dry just like y'all biscuits.
Ooh.
Now, the girls are fighting. All
Wait, how does the rap thing play into all of this?
No,
how does the
I
rap
just say,
play into the okay.
Everybody's fighting. So it's like you got the fast food people fighting, you got the rap girls fighting, you got people making announcements. But you know what? If you hit me and Alec up on Twitter, we will answer you back and we won't fight. That's the whole purpose, Alec.
I don't want to fight with anybody online. First of all, it's not a real fight. It's not a real face-to-face conversation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where you can see my facial expressions. You could read the energy in the room. We're not taking everything literally. We're having a real conversation. To me, when there's like a fight online or a fight in somebody's Facebook page, any kind of socials, to me, it's just pixels.
Yeah.
It is just dots on a screen. That's all it is. But we're making the decision whether or not to have an emotional reaction to it.
Exactly. And as a celebrity, I think you have to really look at your brand. Mm-hmm. And you say to yourself, I always say this, especially to young performers. I said, does it fit your brand to fight like that? Because the world is watching. And once you push send, It's over. Anybody picks it up, everybody goes crazy. So I tell people, watch how you present yourself. Watch what you say. You know, you got keyboard. I call them keyboard thugs. So don't let the keyboard thugs get to you. Just have a good time. Let's spread love. And that's why I love this final episode, because this episode was named Everybody Say Love.
Did you see how she did everybody hear? I want the rest of the class to notice. How seamlessly Lonnie Love weaved that. It's like silk off a spool. She's a genius. And that's why she was replacing Jerry O'Connell on Pictionary.
Nobody wants that job, okay?
That's why she's replacing Steve Harvey on Family Feud. That's why she's replacing...
You know what? I love that RuPaul came out with that. Every time RuPaul introduces me when I'm a judge on Drag Race, he says, everybody say love. Lonnie Love.
Lonnie so Love.
I really thought, I'm like, he's going to say my name.
It is branding. It's branding. And I think that if that was the case with me, like if Mappa was somehow, like everybody say Mappa, I would take advantage of this as a branding opportunity to say, RuPaul talks about me on every single show. Everybody say love. She's talking about Lonnie.
So let's talk about Ru's look.
Beautiful.
She came out looking perfect as usual.
As usual in a sheath dress, but she does this better than anybody else. It's a two-strap gown, which is unusual for Ru because usually there's an asymmetrical strap. But she is in a sheath dress that is a nude illusion, meaning that it's flesh-colored on top but underneath. The overlay is all glittered and everything. And there is like a nude slip underneath that's very figure-hugging. So it's like a nude illusion, and nobody's better at this than her. And she has her honey blonde wig, and as usual, she is sparkling. She has a way of making tans and browns, which you don't necessarily think of as a chic and glamorous color.
Yes.
As chic and glamorous.
Yes.
Like, it wouldn't be my first go-to, and she does it all the time. It's gorgeous.
Well, I love that look, and with her skin tone, it just looks beautiful. And then that hair, it all just fit. And what I liked was that the judges, we had all of our judges back. We had Carson, we had Michelle.
And Ross.
And Ross. And they were all kind of like meshed, like with the colors. They were, they all like were together in color. So I really appreciated that this week. And it shows that they're a great team. As far as when it comes to judges, I have to say Michelle and Rue work so well together that you can tell
they really
that they do know
work
each other.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an offstage chemistry between them that they kind of like talk to each other the way family talks to each other.
Exactly.
You know, the way you talk to your best friends. And if you didn't know them walking in, you'd be like, how on earth could those two be so insulting to each other? No, that's how family speaks to each other, because we can take it.
Exactly. And I will say, behind the scenes, RuPaul, Michelle, Carson, and Ross, what you see on TV is what you see. And I've spent a lot of time. You spent a lot of time with them, Alec.
Yeah.
They're not, it's not a, I've been on shows where people have put on. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, they have that TV personality, and then when they get off, you're like,
wait a second. You know, it's so funny. It's like, you know, I made my living exclusively as working as a guest star when I first came to town. And so it was really like being over at people's houses, you know? So you show up and you see, and I know how to read a room as a stand-up comic and also as somebody who was raised by somebody with a really bad temper. I know how to read a room. And so, you know, you can come in immediately and guess the vibe of what's going on. And I've been on sets where everybody's super happy and on sets where everybody's not super happy. And I can say this in an absolute generalist way, speaking from experience. When you go onto a black show, everybody's happy to be there.
We getting that money.
If the star of the show is black, if it's a black sitcom, I don't know what it's about. I've been on sitcoms where it's like, this show's not even that big a hit. And there's a million executives around, and they're all at Video Village, and they're all taking everything apart. People on black shows, they're walking around with a plate of fried shrimp on shoot day. And everybody's like, I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad to be here. Not a million notes to be taken. Put me on a black show. Speaking of which, the black show that bought me a house, Half and Half, just celebrated its 20th anniversary this week.
Oh, congratulations.
On 20 years ago, I have worked since then. I thought about it earlier. Since you said that life does go on, I mean, I did do Ugly Betty immediately after.
Sure did.
Half and half, and then I did Switched at Birth. So I'm living proof that you don't die immediately.
And we did a show together. We did.
And
Gossip
we did a
Queens.
Show together. That's right. We did Gossip Queens together. So life goes on. But in long story long, this group of RuPaul's Drag Race, this is a group of people who, this was never meant to go past Logo. Remember Logo?
I remember.
Which was the LGBTQ.
It wasn't in high def either.
It was not in high def. It was the original first season was filmed in the basement of World of Wonder for $5 and a McDonald's gift certificate. It has grown past the boundaries of this to become a global franchise.
Yes.
And so Ru has a very good reason to say everybody say love, because it is the love of the fans and the audience that has taken it this far.
Now, RuPaul comes out, introduces the judges, and then we have the returning queens from the show come out. They looked all looked fabulous, and it was nice to see them again.
They're all in gold. They're all in gold. Jujubee is in a tiered gown in bright gold. And by tiered, I mean, well, she has this strap.
Well, I was talking about the actual the celebrities.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the mentors, the queen mentors.
Yeah. No, we had all of the past contestants from Secret Celebrity for the season come out.
That's
and they
right.
were all, you know, it was nice to see Loretta. And, you know, I kind of forgot. It's been so long.
I know. This has been so long. It's like Tom Felicia was in this. Oh, yes, he was. We interviewed him on the show. Taylor Dane came back. Jenna Ushkowitz came back. Everybody came back. Daniel Francese, who I finally listened to your podcast with him. He was wonderful.
Oh, wasn't he? And you know what? He had a little sign. That's what stood out to me the most. He had a little sign that said, normalize kitten heels.
Kitten heels. Normalize kitten heels. Oh, that was the other thing you posted on your Instagram. It was you and Hannah Waddington from Apple TV.
Yes.
From Ted Lasso. Both in sneakers at the Emmy Awards.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a new world. It's a new world.
I don't have to walk on the stage, though.
No,
I was standing for 3 hours, Alex, so I'm going to wear sneakers.
Yeah. Who's the dummy now? I mean, really. So are we going to mention the three returning mentors and their looks at all?
Now,
or are we moving
now,
on?
Okay. So it was nice seeing the returning queens. And then we had our mentoring queens, our Queen Supremes, and they looked fabulous, didn't they?
All in gold. Jujubee in bright gold. Brooklyn Heights was kind of in a smoky quartz gold. Ooh. And Monet Exchange was in old Hollywood glamour gold. Monet Exchange wore a turban. And this was kind of very Diane Carroll in Dynasty. Kind of very Nolan Miller, cinched waist, shoulder pads. Both Jujubee and Brooklyn Heights were both in strapless gowns. Brooklyn was in a darker strapless gown, which was, again, reminded me of very Nolan Miller Dynasty in kind of like a dark gold foil. And Jujubee was in bright, bright gold, almost like a yellow gold, with this tiered gown that had a series of peplums that just got bigger and bigger and went all the way down to the floor. And again, the three of them know what they're doing.
Yep.
And I love this little matching moment we have in every single show. So much fun.
I loved it because they showed that they were a group and they were cohesive. That's what the word I've been looking for. Everybody was cohesive.
Everybody say cohesive.
Cohesive. So it was nice to see them for the finale all together once again. But before we got to the final performances, we had the Tic Tac lunch for the three finalists. So
And first up was Mark, who is Thirsty Von Trapp. And Mark came out and said during their Tic Tac lunch that drag has allowed him to confront things that he's repressed. Trauma of trying to be outed before he was ready. Now, I've known Mark since he was a little boy, before he even knew that he was gay, before he even kind of had inklings of it, because he was a little kid. But he did grow up right in front of, you know, America on television, playing a kid who was going through the same thing.
Mm.
And it's very, very interesting because on Ugly Betty, it was a safe space for everybody.
Right.
You know, it was a very big cast, but we all took care of each other. And that was largely due to America Ferrara, who, to her own credit, I'm sure you've seen this lots of times, Lonnie, how people, RuPaul has said that fame is a drug. And like a drug, everybody has different reactions to it.
Yes.
And America had the best reaction. In our first season, she was nominated for an Emmy, won a Golden Globe, and became world famous overnight.
I remember that.
And she set the tone for everyone on the set. Mm. She was great, showed up on time, was completely professional with everybody. And so, what's that expression? The fish stinks from the head. You know, yes. if there's chaos and everybody's misbehaving around you, look to the head.
Yes.
That's usually somebody setting the tone. And Mark was always well taken care of. So it came as a surprise to me to find out that he was bullied beyond the boundaries of the studio. But that makes perfect sense because, you know, we can take care of you within the confines of a studio. After that, you know, we can't really protect you.
Exactly.
So it was sad to hear that he was bullied as a kid.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
It was really sad. But, you know, to join this type of competition and to see that it helped, it gave him permission to be who he wanted to be. It was great to hear that from him. And it was like a really great revelation. You know, up next we had AJ, who said that he found his place for him because I never knew his real name is Alex.
His real name is Alex. And his stage persona was AJ.
Exactly.
And I remember, because I was kind of a Backstreet Boys fan, I did like Quit Playing Games With My Heart. I did like that song. And throughout the videos, because the 90s was the time of videos where you still had to watch it on MTV,
right.
AJ's persona was, he was kind of the bad boy. He was the one with the tattoos and the piercing. And he said that he got caught up in that persona. That persona took over. Mm. And meanwhile, his inner dweeb, his inner nerd, Alex, this creative kid, kind of got lost in the shuffle. And Poppy Love helped AJ find that kid again. Mm. And I thought that was lovely.
Exactly. And he also mentioned his grandmother, who told him to always have the freedom to be who he wanted to be. But this is why we do the Tic Tac lunches, so that you can find out just a little bit more, because I think we got so caught up in the performances, which were great, that we didn't really get to know, because it was secret celeb, you know.
That's why I want the secret taken off.
Oh.
Now, I'm on the official RuPaul's Drag Race. This is just an opinion. I don't have any power at World of Wonder, but I'm like the secret part taken off. And for this reason, so we can get to know people better. And I feel like since they've taken the secret off, which is like, what, 3 episodes ago? I feel like since then, we have gotten to know each and individual person a lot better.
Which is, you know, as a celeb, is the reason why you do these. You want people to get to know you a little bit more than what they think that they know.
How long did you last on Worst Celebrity Cooks?
Oh, I won.
Oh, you won. Okay, so you made it all the way to the end.
Yeah, but we were so busy cooking that we didn't have time to talk about...
She knew how to cook. Lonnie knew how to cook. That's why she won.
I'm going
to
tell you.
I knew how to cook.
I'm going to tell you later how I won.
Made it all the way
but
to the end.
The last person was Tatiana. And her Tic Tac lunch was very revealing because she talked about how this helped her deal with imposter syndrome.
Okay. Here's the thing with imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome, if you don't know, is like we show up and you feel a lot of insecurities about being there. Mm-hmm. Right? It's kind of like, what am I doing here? They're going to find out. They're going to find out that I'm not really. Now, I never feel that self-conscious when I go onto a set because I feel like you're the ones who hired me. I really honestly feel like you guys hired me. If you have a problem with it, then I'm going to be going home at the end of the day. That's it.
Exactly.
That's just how things work. And, you know, because I walk through all of my friends, everybody has this syndrome. And everybody has this syndrome walking onto a show, into a new situation. And I always tell people, they're not doing you a favor.
That's
this
right.
is business. They hired Lonnie Love because they want Lonnie Love. So for you to have imposter syndrome is you're going down a path you don't need to go down. The only thing I get self-conscious about, Lonnie, is when I'm around a lot of rich people. I don't know why, but I get a little. And so I always make a joke of it, you know, like, because I did a pilot for Tina Fey and those children, and somebody was talking about their trip to South Africa. I took the kids to South Africa for Easter weekend. We all went on safari. It was so exotic and amazing. And I'll say things like, I took them through a drive-thru last week in Glendale. It was to a Popeyes we hadn't been through before, so it was very exotic. Not to like, you know, not to put that other person down, but to just kind of like ease my own self-consciousness.
You.
Do you get self-conscious about anything ever?
Oh, all the time. But you know what? The thing is that when I get self-conscious, I lean into what I know I can do instead of, you know, if I know I can't do something, I lean into what I can do.
That's really smart.
And if I don't know something, I'll just admit it. Like I told you, just, you know, I'd be like, yeah. Allie, what are they wearing? That's your thing.
Right,
it's
right.
Like people, you don't have right. to be the end all. You don't have to be the know-it-all. But right. lean into what you do know and make that shine. And then you can work on yourself and you become better. And right, that's what right. Chakra Severin actually did during this competition.
She kind of started off. It.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, we didn't, because you think about Tatiana Ali, you think of her as a little girl on Fresh Prince. And it was like, okay, right. she was cute and this and that. And like, and then all of a sudden now she's coming out and she's gyrating and
yeah.
she's got all this makeup. And it's like, that's a whole different part
it's
of her.
It's a whole different part of her and super exciting to see.
Yes.
And for all three of them, this is a side of them that you would not ever see.
You would not have.
No, I mean, to kind of see Thirsty Von Trapp be so unself-conscious. I mean, that's the growth yeah. that we saw. Remember when I said that like her first couple episodes, she did all the steps. She looked great, but there was something, she wasn't alive in the eyes. She right. wasn't like completely present. And now she's completely different. Poppy is completely unembarrassed, goes out into the audience almost every single time.
Yeah.
Is kind of like melded with this character. And Chakra Seven has become a performer that's like, oh, what's she going to do next?
Right.
What exactly. is she going to do next?
So and that's what happened. So we had the Tic Tac lunches. They yep. were great. They were very revealing. And then we get into the performances.
Yeah.
Now, the order of the performance, Chakra Seven was first.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Better Be Good to Me by Tina Turner.
Oh, my
I love the way her and Brooklyn Heights had their final talk together.
Yes.
It was kind of like that pep talk and yes. explaining what she wanted to get out of it. I really enjoyed yeah. this.
And while she was having her talk with Brooklyn, don't forget, she got a special message from Karen Parsons, who
yes.
played her...
Well, that was after she did her performance.
Oh, she did? Oh, it was after yeah. the performance. Oh,
yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
So. That was lovely to see that they're still in touch. That they're still friends. That they're
yeah,
like, oh.
She got really emotional. Well, yeah. first of all, I liked her performance because it started off as funny.
Yeah. She kind of did this kind of like Bride of Frankenstein Beyond Thunderdome
yes.
thing where she was like on a pallet, like a wooden thing that kind of like was pushed up. And then she kind of stalked the stage as this kind of Tina Turner, Bride of Frankenstein, you better be good to
Brave
me.
Braveheart.
Yeah. And I love the crazy eyes. I love that Chakra Seven is this kind of like out of control. You don't know what she's going to do next. And this.
But remember when I said last week, I said, when you do these performances, we want to see some camp. This
yeah.
is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's like you can do a performance, add the campiness to it, add the mm-hmm. glitter, add the glamour. And then it's a total performance. So
yeah.
I thought it was really, really good. I
Beautiful.
Thought it was really, really good.
And this dress was kind of this chainmail, almost a recreation of Tina Turner's dress in Beyond Thunderdome. It had this chainmail look to it and had these wide shoulder pads. And she wore this high, high up, almost green blonde wig to make her extra
gorgeous.
Monstrous. And this was a lot of fun.
It
and
was
I think
so
a really
fun.
Strong final performance for her.
And this is why we like to have inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can have performers that can play performers that, you know, someone like a Tina Turner is a
right.
tribute. I think that that's just so important. And I think that she did it well. And she got a special message from her
yeah.
co-star.
Her co-star.
Karen Parsons. That was so sweet.
That was very
sweet.
That was
really, really sweet.
It was like, aw, they're still in touch. They're still friends.
And also her mother was there to support her and her
Lovely.
Husband. And that was nice to see, too. And
yeah.
her mom was so proud of her. Really.
And I think this is a great reinvent for her. I
yeah.
think, you know, mission accomplished. If anybody's tuned into this show, the perception of her as just being the little girl from Bel Air is gone. It's like, oh, I've seen this whole new side to you.
I mean,
and that's
great.
And that's mission accomplished. Next up was AJ, a.k.a. Alex, who did I Touch Myself by the Divinals and did a whole dance number where she started out in a bathtub covered in these large plastic see-through bubbles and this bodysuit that looked like it was bubble bath and then this updo, this brown do. And she went there. She kind of like
mm-hmm.
touched herself as a woman would touch herself in
yep.
the tub. Would you agree?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Poppy's performance. It was mm-hmm. campy. It was creative. Yeah. But also because what I thought I was going to get out of Poppy was a bunch of steps, a bunch of, you know, like, because yeah. of AJ being a Backstreet Boy, I thought, oh, it's going to have a lot of choreo. And right. No, it wasn't. And this shows you the versatility yeah. that Poppy has, where it yeah. kept your attention. And mm-hmm. even at the end, he made it so funny when he fell into the bathtub. Tub. It was yeah. like, that falling made, I love to funny. Hear RuPaul laugh. It's like yeah. that cackle that RuPaul has, you know right. that he really likes something when you hear yeah. that.
Yeah, RuPaul likes being in on the joke and loves hearing a joke, loves seeing the campness. And I think that also they appreciated, they were giving AJ the note more than 3 or 4 episodes before. Bring the woman, bring the woomana, yes. bring the femininity. And she has, she's completely transformed. She's a drag queen now and a pretty good one.
And he, after his performance, he got well wishes from some of his bandmates. Nick Carter.
That's right.
And I forgot
and
who
Kevin.
Else. Somebody
Kevin.
Else.
Kevin. Ah! Kevin from Backstreet Boys.
Thank
the one
you.
With the mustache. Nick and Kevin from Backstreet Boys. I did remember Kevin's name because he was the one that I liked. I there's something about Kevin, that little kind of mustache from him.
I like Nick. Nick
so
has
cute.
Always been on a couple of shows. I've gotten to interview him. Really, right. really nice. Also, Frankie Grande was there along
That's
with
right.
AJ's wife to support him. And I thought
Frankie's
that was really sweet.
Frankie's very sweet.
Very,
he's
very
like
sweet.
He's very well liked by a lot of people. We played supervillains together on a kiddie show on Nickelodeon called Henry Danger. And Frankie Grande's character was, he turned everything into a musical. So he could walk into a room and talk about your gay superpower and people just start singing. I had a less glamorous character. I was a purveyor of a snack food called Frittles and my factory blows up and I go crazy. So he got well wishes from everybody. Very last up, Thirsty Von Trapp. She did Holla Back by Gwen Stefani. She ain't no Holla Back girl. Mm-hmm. And she did it as kind of a drum majorette out on the field in the bleachers with a bunch of boys who were all dressed up as football players, I suppose. I'm guessing because she had a football in her hand. She had a huge blonde wig with a top knot ponytail and kind of a majorette feather in her cap. She had a white bustier with a black glitter kind of mini skirt with tulle underneath. And she wore kind of like almost like Trojan boots, like she was like a cheerleader for USC or something. And she did kind of like this high school cheerleader ain't no holla back number. And I enjoyed it.
It was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I like that song.
You know, it was a little, it was good. I wanted a little bit more, if I'm honest.
Me too. Me too. Because okay. just like last week, she just slayed it. She just kind of like, she did the Gaga song and she went so bananas. It mm-hmm. was like her coming out moment. And I kind of expected more from that. Mm-hmm. But having said that, if I had not seen last week's performance, I would have enjoyed this one more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then in a way, that's a compliment.
And she got a special message from Hannah Einbinder. I spoke to Hannah on the red carpet for the Emmy.
Yes.
When I say yes. she is a lovely, funny, energetic person, and you could tell yeah. even in the message that she left for Thirsty, it was just...
Told her that she was proud of her every day. Oh. I mean, that was lovely. And I am friends with two people close to Hannah. Her boyfriend, Alex Edelman, who's a comic I work with quite a bit.
Oh.
And her mother, who, a little bit of trivia, is Lorraine Newman, who was one of the original...
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. Lorraine Newman is her mother.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and sometimes when you look at Hannah on the show, or, you know, you will see a family resemblance. You will see it. Just kind of like Maya Hawke, who was on Stranger Things, is uh-huh. the daughter of Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Ah.
You know, and I didn't know that at first, and I kept going, why does she look so familiar?
Exactly.
Oh, she has Ethan Hawke's hair and Uma Thurman's gigantic blue eyes. It's like, oh, okay, I get it.
I love
Celebrity
it.
Celebrity offspring.
I love it.
The other person who was there in the audience was Anna Ortiz, the actress who played Hilda on Ugly Betty, who played Mark's mom. And what's great about Anna is she's from Queens. She's like keeps it real 100. She's so fantastic. She was one of the great cast members on the show. Has gone on to play other moms in other series of other gay kids.
Well, all the performances were great. It was nice to see all the support for everybody. Who was your favorite?
Okay, I have to say that Poppy Love was my favorite. Yeah. It's kind of like she was, and a close second is Chakra 7. Yep. And a third is Thirsty Von Trapp for the reasons that I mentioned. If we were to judge this on the final episode, we'll talk about this towards the end, but I believe that Poppy Love did win this round.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. But we are not done.
We're not done yet.
Nope, we have another performance by the Queen Supremes, Blame It on the Edit by RuPaul. I was so excited to see them perform this.
Me too. Kind of like after, like, we see examples of people trying to, like, work it. Let's see what the seasoned queens can do with it. And they did not disappoint. The show was on one of the RuPaul albums because there were so many queens who were leaving Drag Race and saying if they had not been featured in a positive light, that it was the editing.
Oh,
I was this season's villain because I was the edit. It was the way I was edited. And RuPaul says, if you want to blame somebody, look in the mirror. You said it. And like the song says, you blame it on the edit, but you're the one who said it. So it's like,
I love it. And you know, ouch. I love that RuPaul like was actually lip syncing too. So I felt like I was getting RuPaul performing it along with the Queen Supremes, and it was just great.
Right,
and then we had Miss Congeniality. They had a vote. And you know what? I just want to make this observation that AJ is still a dude because he sits just like I sit. Those legs,
there's a little man spread going on. Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about this for a second, Lonnie Love. Now, is that because you didn't go to finishing school? Is that because...
Finishing school?
Finishing school is like this old, like, debutante type finish, like, ladies school. It's like manners school.
You know, I was a debutante, like, though. I was a ghetto debutante.
Oh, okay. You're a ghetto-tante. You were a ghetto-tante.
Ghetto-tante, okay?
So nobody at ghetto-tante school said, ladies put their legs together.
Look, I'm at this point now. I don't care. I just sit. But I kept looking at AJ like, yeah, that's a dude. The legs are not closing.
There's nothing natural about being in drag at all. It is uncomfortable. So when the minute people are backstage, the shoes come off. They sit the way they want to. There's a reason they call it untucked.
So Miss Congeniality went to Chakra 7. That was no surprise to me.
Lovely.
It's so good. And the top three lip sync, you know, it wasn't over. Because I was like, okay, now we're going to hear the winner. Like, nope. RuPaul's like, nope. Nope.
There's still more. They had to lip sync one more time. And I love how, you know, they obviously knew. They obviously had to prepare. But I want to be that one person who's like, it's not over yet. I need to see you lip sync one more time. I would be like, God damn it! Like, I haven't been through enough. No.
If you look at AJ almost gave you that. Like, when RuPaul said it, he kind of was like, all right. You know, like, he had that look. So they lip sync one last time to I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sisters.
And you know what? I tried to lip sync along. I knew the words.
We all should know the words.
Tonight's the night we're going to make it happen.
If you were born.
If you're still hanging around, baby, that's just fine. I love the Pointer Sisters. I used to watch them. This is how old I am, Lonnie. I used to watch them on the Flip Wilson show.
Oh, wow.
When I was a kid. And their act before was they looked like 1940s girls. They were like, they had like a vintage look to them. And then their first hit was Yes, We Can.
Yep.
Yes, We Can. And then they blew up, and then they become like disco divas, and then they became Bonnie Pointer had a solo album for a little while, and then they came out with this song I'm So Excited, which was part of a soundtrack. It may have been Axel Foley, Beverly Hills Cop. It may have been that soundtrack, but this was I'm So Excited is one of their huge hits.
Yeah,
and it's so great. I also love Jump, that song that they sang.
That's right. Yeah. It was Jump, and then Slow Hand.
Neutron Dance.
And then they did individuals, dance. Like you said, too.
They did.
What I like about them is that they moved on with the times. They're true performers because they were able to, like, if it was in the 60s, they did a song there. If it was in the 70s, they got into discos. In the 80s, they got into that was their peak right there.
Very versatile.
So it was just great. It was great to see that. And it was a good lip sync. And when we come back, don't go anywhere because we're going to talk about the winner when we come back.
We'll be right back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with the news that you have been waiting for. The winner is Poppy Love, a.k.a. AJ McLean. This is where Lonnie Love gets to say, I told you so. Go ahead.
I told you so.
He wins that crown by Fierce Drag Jewels and $100,000 for his charity, Trans Lifeline. Lana, you're correct again. Again.
AJ put his all into it. I think he deserved it. He showed what he can do. He did it for his daughters. He did it for his wife. He did it for himself. And he's showing people that it, this is what you do when you give your all to something. So congratulations, AJ. So happy for you. Now, Alec,
Yes. What
was your favorite part of the season? There were so many great moments.
There's so many great moments. I would have to say I really did enjoy when Kevin McHale dressed up as a peanut and came out and did peanut butter. I did like that a whole lot because at the very end, she had a monocle like Mr. Peanut. I thought that was so clever. And I loved Mark and Delicato's Gaga performance last week because it was really great seeing and experiencing somebody's personal freedom. You know, like I've overcome something. I've overcome a trauma. I've overcome an insecurity and I don't care. And you got to really see him shine. That was a victorious moment.
I like the reveals and just that was the excitement.
Yeah.
Of seeing the different celebrities and who, you know, every week it was somebody different. But I would have to say my favorite was Donna Bellissima and everything that Donna went through, adding her culture, the stumping of the grapes and the nakedness. It was just great. And all of the fashions. I think this was like even our fashions when we did Celeb Drag Race, it does not come to par with this season. They came with the fashion. Everybody came and everybody brought it. So
beautiful,
it was really,
beautiful
really
things. And like Daniel did have a very intense journey on the show. The amount of vulnerability he shared, the amount of vulnerability he allowed himself to experience. I mean, you can't get much more naked than when you're wearing a bodysuit that makes you look naked. There was no kind of like hiding from the world.
Would you do that? Would you wear a bodysuit and be naked?
Hell yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been naked. I've been naked on stage. I was naked on Broadway. I was like, but I understudied the person. Yeah, the whole thing, the whole deal. Because I understudied somebody who had been on for a year, so I would have done anything, Lonnie. I would have like... I would have done anything at this point. I would have been like, naked, no problem. I was like, get me out there.
Well, you know what? It has been great going over this Secret Celebrity Drag Race with
as
you.
As always.
And it's been a great season. Congratulations to all of our celebs. Please.
Congratulations.
Like Alec always says, tell them what? Send them what, Alec?
Send them love. Tip them on their socials. You know, let them know how much you appreciate them. I swear to God, there's a journey to becoming a drag queen that takes place long before they make it to television. And Lonnie and I know this as live performers. Mm-hmm. The distance between when you are on television and when you start out at those open mic nights or the clubs where, or the gigs where you don't make any money or the gigs where you travel so far to do 5 minutes someplace, you know, these girls put in the time. So by the time they're on social media, show them love, show them that you support them, and let's change the culture of online social media fans for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Now, this season of Secret Celebrity might be over, but the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast keeps on going. Be sure to
tune in
next week. We're talking all things Drag Race, our favorite moments, challenges, and the different franchises. And hopefully you'll be home with your family recovering again.
Yeah, really, really soon. But in the meantime, I'm watching all of the franchises. I'm watching Drag Race UK, which is incredible. RuPaul and Michelle are back hosting that. I just finished watching Australia. Watch the Philippines if you want to know what it's like what my family is like. It's like, watch Philippine Drag Race. It is so amazing, the fashions, because they're all beautiful girls, because they're all petite, they're all Asian like me. So they are bringing, it's a different competition entirely. It's all about the looks. And all of them jockeying for position is absolutely amazing.
And that's why it's important to do global drag race, because you get to see different cultures. You get to appreciate the difference in, you know, being different people all over.
Yeah. Hear the different languages and what it's like to be a drag queen in other parts of the world.
We're not stopping.
No.
We're planning to welcome some very special guests very, very soon. So stay tuned.
So you mysterious.
Know, hit us up, like we said.
Yeah. It could be, it could be anybody. So follow us on our social handles. If you have any questions, you want to let us know. We do read all of the messages on air. You can find Lonnie at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram or at Lonnie Love on Twitter, where she's watching all the beefs.
And you can find Alec at Alec Mappa on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow him so we can up his followers, you
Thank
guys.
You for following me. It's going up every week, and it's all thanks to Lonnie Love. Listen, I'm living in your shadow forever and ever until I'm...
Girlfriends, we
By the time I get to a million followers...
all day. You see, this man is getting better. We can talk all day, but girlfriends, okay, seriously, we appreciate everyone for listening.
Yep.
Stay tuned, because we're not done, and we'll see you next week.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.